Before we begin the next series of lessons on the parables of our Lord, I've been strongly constrained to stop a moment and indulge us in a subject that is near to the heart of every child of God. And to some of you who have come through troublesome waters, and even the devil has tried to starve your faith to death and try to poke unbelief into you and cause you to doubt your salvation. A number of cases of people who come, even of late, some who have even been saved a while, and said, why is it that sometimes when I come here to the church, I just feel so good and I just feel saved, but when I get home or even the next day, I just feel like I just haven't got a thing. How come? Another person said this, I just don't really know for sure that I am saved because I don't feel it. And I'm going to deal with that subject for this morning, and the Lord willing, if I don't get through with them, to conclude it in the next week. But I want to deal with the subject, what part does feelings have with your salvation? And I'm going to be dealing with how to be sure that you are saved. God provided in His Word no-so salvation. You don't have to guess so, hope so, think so, and maybe so about it. It is positive, sure, and certain. And I'm going to be dealing with the subject, particularly with our feelings. And may I say this at the very beginning of the class, that most of the time, our feelings are our failings. Nearly everything that we know of in this world, we judge by whether it feels good or not. It's good if it feels good, and if it doesn't feel good, well, it's just not much pumpkin. I want you to know, the children of God, there is a Bible criteria whereby we can be established in God, because if we're not established in God and in His Word, if we go by our feelings are as changeable as the weather. And you know how often that changes. So if we rely on our feelings, we're going to be in trouble. If we feel good, then we're saved. And if we don't feel so good, then we feel we're backslid. Well, we'd be flipping in and out and kind of have more downs and ups and more pouts than shouts. God doesn't want it that way. He wants us to be anchored and rooted and grounded and established in the truth, as it is in Jesus. I'll be dealing with the subject of how to be sure that you are saved and what is the basis of the assurance. I'd like to have you go with me in your Bibles this morning to the key passage of Scripture in the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. I am going to be starting, however, with verse 10. Because this introduces the subject to us, and we shouldn't take out the one passage of Scripture out of context. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. Maybe I better go back to verse 9, if you wouldn't pardon me for backing up a little bit, because right now I just got a little bird's eye view of another thought that leads into it. And notice this. He said, if we receive the witness of men, that means like when we're at an altar praying and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and the person who is the altar worker, the counselor there, may say, now you have followed these necessary steps to salvation, now you are saved. And that's good to say that, but I tell you that sometimes we get a little ahead of things. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost do the witnessing first to that person's heart before I say anything to assure them of their soul salvation. Why? Because His witness is far more important than mine. I might miss it if I'm not walking real close to Jesus, but I know this, when it's been a joy throughout all of these years I've been here, been 16 now, going on 17, started as of March 1st, and we've been working in the altar room. And in that altar room, we prayed with hundreds of people throughout the years. Many big altar calls we've seen, especially in the former days. And you go down that prayer room where when people ran into any difficulty, they generally turn them over to me. But while we would be there with them, to see that they were prayed through. And when they were really prayed through to know so salvation, God's Spirit will bear witness with their spirit that they were the children of God. And I've seen them come on out and it says, glory to God. This is what I wanted all of my life. I'll never forget the lady who came to my study, and she was brought here by one of the members of our class because she'd been witnessing to her about her soul salvation. And this woman said, you've been lying to my neighbor. I said, how so? She said, you've been telling her that you've got to be saved in order to go to heaven. I said, that isn't true. There's no such thing as this save business in the Bible. And I said, how do you know? She said, the church that I go to, they have never mentioned that once. I said, well, I'm not here to throw off on your church, my dear lady, but just let me just check something out. So I went over there to, first of all, to Matthew chapter 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he that endureth, in the 10th chapter, verse 22, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And in chapter 24 and verse 12, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And went on through over there. I said, by the way, you told me that the head of your church is St. Peter, and he's the first pope. You want to hear something that he said? She said, sure. I said, he said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I kind of hit that little hard. She said, I'll declare, let me see that. She jerked the Bible plumb out of my hand without my even offering it to her. And she, before she even read that, she flipped it open to the front pages over there. And what she saw on the front over there, there was a Douay version, and that it was by the... Jason Kennedy was the publisher of that Bible. She said, it's okay, proceed. So I went all the way on down through all of Acts and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. When I got over there into Colossians, she said, stop. She started crying. She said, all of my life, I've never heard anything like this, and it's all throughout my Bible. How come I haven't heard that from our priests? I said, they'll have to answer that question for you, but this one is telling it to you. She said, when can I get saved? I said, as soon as you're ready. She said, I'm ready right now. And down off of her seat she went and onto the floor. And weepingly, we had the privilege of leading her to Jesus. And this is what she said after she got saved. I didn't have to tell her she was saved. And I believe when you get a good case of old-time Bible salvation, nobody has to thump you on the head and tell you. You'll know for yourself. You said, when that Holy Ghost comes on in there, he'll bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And if a child of God, then an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Well, I say hallelujah. Bless God. Now, reading the word of the Lord over here, I notice that if we receive the witness of men, so it ought to be more than that. He said, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath, what? The witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What is the record? The Holy Scriptures. And this is the record. Watch that word, record. Lady came to me one day who was doubting her salvation. She said, I don't know, really, I just don't know whether I'm saved or not. I said, how you judge that? She says, I don't feel like I'm saved. I said, I want to ask you, are you a married woman? She said, sure, why? I said, well, now, how do you know you're married? She said that stupid question. I said, well, now, I'm hidden somewhere, just hold steady now. I said, how do you know you're really married? Can you prove it to me? She said, I sure can. She said, just let me go home and get my marriage certificate. I'll prove it to you. I said, then you believe what is written on that paper, black and white in there? She said, yes, sir. Don't you? I said, sure. I said, I asked you that question to say this. You believe that piece of paper that you're married? What if I ask you, are you really married? And you said, well, I guess so. I said, I kind of think that there's something wrong with you somewhere. You guess so. I said, there's no guessing about it. You've got the marriage license, and black and white it says you're a married woman. Plus, you've got that man that you're living with, and if you got the license and the man, both of them together, you're doing all right. So some of them even come here to the church that are latched on to somebody that don't belong to them. I said, now you got the black and the white, the witness. The records are there. God's got a record here too. It's in black and white. The record is established right here in God's word that I can know that I have eternal life. Notice it. This is the record. Verse 11. This is the record. What? That God hath given unto us. That's past tense now, you know. Said what? Eternal life. And where is that life found? In His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. For Jesus Christ is that eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest unto us. He that hath the Son hath life, but there are those who are the havers, and there are also those who are the have-nots. And it says, he that hath not the Son hath not life. And then you go over there to the book of John chapter 3, verse 36, and it said that concerning those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Every person who refuses to believe in the Lord Jesus, rejects him and just brushes him aside as though he's a nobody, they're brushing eternal life aside. Because eternal life is wrapped up in a person. That person is Jesus. You go over to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. He is that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Praise God. Even Paul admonishes the church at Ephesus through a letter to Timothy. He says, lay hold on eternal life. That's lay a hold on Jesus. Praise God and hold to His unchanging hand. Watch verse 13 now, which is the text for the assurance of our salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now in our study this morning, which is very significant, that people have been lately come to us who are troubled over their feelings. I don't feel like I am saved. How can I be sure? I said, God wants you to be sure. God wants you to be certain. They said, well, where does the doubt then come from? I said, that's a powerful question. I'll be glad to tell you where the doubts came from and where they still come from and where they originally came from. Doubts come from the devil. He is the enemy. He knows how valuable faith is. In fact, of the matter, everything we ever get from God, whether it's salvation or sanctification or the baptism of the Holy Ghost or healing for our body, even we who are kept, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Everything we get from God, healing for our bodies and answers to prayer, faith, faith, faith is wrapped right up in the middle of all of the benefits that God has provided for us. Since faith is so valuable, the scriptures tell us that then cometh the wicked one when the word of God is sown in your heart and catcheth away that word that was sown in their heart. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. The devil knows that the word of God is a faith producer, and if he can yank the word of God out of your heart, he can hinder you from being saved. If he can hinder you from being saved by taking the word of God out before your salvation, what do you think he's been a monkeying around on your trail and trying to poke those doubts in your mind since you've been saved? He's trying to steal away from you the word of God and to just forget the word of God and rely on your feelings. And he's actually led people into having more confidence in their up and down feelings than they are in the unadulterated, unchangeable, infallible word of the living God. He doesn't want your faith resting in thus saith the Lord, but more in your feelings or in what some person has told you. Our feelings are secondary. Any other person's words and witness to us is secondary. The primary importance is, thus saith the Lord. And I'll be dealing with that in detail and passing the scriptures right on down there to you concerning that. But observe this matter. The devil's dirty tricks in the garden of God. Here we have Adam and Eve, God's original creation, made in God's likeness and after His image, enjoying wonderful fellowship with Him. One day, the sneak thief came and began whispering sweet words to Mother Eve and to try to get her mind tinkered with. He likes to tinker with people's thinker. And if you're not cautious and careful, you'll allow the devil to put clinkers in your thinker. Those of you who have the old-fashioned coal furnaces, you know what I'm talking about. The rest of you may be in the little in the dark over that. But I'll just only give you this information by an illustration. Mr. Keene, God love him, he was one of the meanest rascals that you had ever encountered. A drunken bum, a man who had tortured his wife. He'd beat her up. He had insulted her when she'd be down on the floor praying. He'd give her a swift kick. And he'd mocked her religion. He's tore up her Bibles. He's even threatened her that if she read a Bible in his presence anymore, that he's going to divorce her. And she went to the pastor who, after the pastor retired, came to our church and told me the story. And Reverend Dean was telling me, said, you know, I went to her and said, my sister, there's only one way to see that that man is brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus. He is persecuting you because the devil in him hates the Spirit of God in you. And that devil is trying to get you bitter and resentful to hate him so that you'll lose out with God. And the only thing that you really can do to see a change come in your home is to get a group of us saints come to your home and have a prayer meeting. Oh, she said, you couldn't do that. Said, if he found it out, he'd just run you all out. He's just that mean. She said, well, we'll risk that. If you can put up with that man, surely a big bunch of us could. And so she said, well, I don't know. Is that the only way? She said, that's the only way. Have a prayer meeting in the house. We're going to have to pray the devil's out and the Spirit of God in. So she said, well, if that's the only way, okay, because I sure can't put up with much more of this. So the prayer meeting was set for Tuesday night. A number of the folks who after told where to come, they had never been there before, so they came a little early, and here his car hadn't pulled out of the drive. Normally he leaves around 7 o'clock to go to the bars. This night, he was a little late in going. And it could be the Lord ordered it that way. And I'll tell you why. When he looked out the door, he said to her, what are these cars pulling up in the driveway for? Oh, she said, they're just some of the saints of the church. He said, what are they here for? She said, well, we're going to have a prayer meeting. She said, ha, ha, prayer meeting. What good do you think that's going to do? She said, well, I believe it'll do some good. And he said, you get on out there. This was in February and it was cold. There was snow on the ground. And he said, you get on out there right now and tell them to get out of the driveway. I've got to leave out of here. So while she went on out there, and I mean when he said scat, she would go. She didn't even put a coat on. Went on out there and asked them to kind of move out of the driveway that he was fixing to leave to go to the bar. And he got his coat on and then he left on out. When he left, they came right on in, and he decided this. I wonder what's going on around here. I'm going to circle around the block and come back and take a look, second look. And he did. And not only those cars in the driveway, but a number of others had pulled up into the driveway, and some others had filled up the parking space in front of the house. And then he circled around again, and he found out that on both ends of the house, or the next door neighbor on both sides, is all filled up, and even up the street and across the street. And he just got really upset over that man and got mad. So he had to park up the street. There are about five or six houses. And so he came. He said, "I'll fix them." Praying. So he went down in the basement. I'm getting to the clinkers and the thinker. They had the old-fashioned coal furnace that had a stoker. And the stoker has a worm gear in it. And it's controlled by a thermostat, and the thermostat kicks the furnace on, a blower goes on, and then the stoker worm just moves the pea-like or lima bean-sized coal into the furnace, and just really fires up things right good. So he said, "I'm going to fix them." The downstairs thermostat, he runs the thing on up to 95. He said, "I'll roast them out of this house." Fix their prayer meeting. And so it got pretty hot down there in the basement, too, with that thing continually running. And all of a sudden, God only knows how to run the business of saving souls. All of a sudden, God hit him right in here with a pain, and he thought he was going to die, and he knew he wasn't right with God, and he's scared to die. And so he eased himself gingerly up the stairs into the kitchen and up there to the door into the dining room. All the dining room floor was filled, and the living room was filled with people on their knees and praying down the power of God. And he sees his wife, and he has to reach over and touch her on the shoulder. And with tears rolling down his face, she looked up there and saw him, motioned for her to come into the kitchen. He said, "I'm going to die, and I've got a heart. My heart's killing me, and I'm going to die, and I'm not right, but God help me to pray through." She couldn't believe her eyes or ears. Down on that kitchen floor, bless God, he got Bible salvation. So changed and transformed. And the thing that's so beautiful about it is this. When God's running the prayer meeting, when God's running the altar service, it's different from man's running things. And when he got really good saved, he came on up out of that floor there, shouting and praising God. At the same time, those in the dining room and the living room, they started shouting too. They quit the praying. Not even knowing yet that he's been saved in the kitchen. But the shout came down and the glory fell. And they really had church around that house. Later on, he became a member of that church, a member of the board, and was one of the finest and most loyal, one of the most precious Christians you'd ever meet. Cleaned up inside and out. No more boozing it. Didn't have to just try and struggle to knock off the old bad habit. I mean, God cleaned him up good. I want you to know this, that Bible salvation, you know you have, and somebody else doesn't have to thump you on the head and try to convince you, even against your own will in the matter. Remember this, that feelings are not the reliable, safe guide to know whether you're saved or not. In fact, of the matter, just look at it this way, a rainbow. You know, it takes the shower to produce the rainbow and not the rainbow to produce the shower. The shower has to bring the rainbow. And so you got to get the witness of the Spirit, because that shower is like, which is the rain from heaven, and the Holy Ghost is called the rain. And he tells us that the husbandman, that's the Lord, awaited for the precious fruit of the earth, that's us, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. The early rain is the first initial outpouring of the Spirit of God, and then the second, the latter rain, is the second pouring out of the Spirit of God. God's got a lot of pour. If he can just find somebody to pour into, it hadn't got a lot of junk in there, in that heart. So remember this morning, that God wants you to have the shower, and then you'll have the heavenly rainbow, the witness, the testimony that God's Spirit has really come and made us abode within. Now I want to touch on this. Before we get into the subject on the feelings. Feelings are unreliable. And let's go to a Bible illustration. If you go with me over to the book of Genesis, we're going to find a very, very important message given to us there concerning Isaac in the 27th chapter, Genesis. Now Isaac is the son of Abraham, and he in turn had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And he said to his older son, "Son, I'm just hungry for some good old venison, some deer meat. Would you go out there and hunt and get one for me?" And when you do, and after I've had my supper, I am going to bestow on you the patriarchal blessing. And so he wanted that blessing, so he skedaddled on out of there and went into hunting. But there was an eavesdropper, and that was Rebecca, Isaac's wife. She heard what was said to Esau. Now her favorite son was Jacob, the younger one. So she then in turn said, now I've got to get that blessing on him. How will I do that? An idea popped in her mind, and I'll tell you this, what some women can't think of, just isn't worth talking about. She was a really clever one. She said, now I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just dress up my son Jacob just like Esau. I'll put his clothes on, because the smell of the field will be on him. And that, so if Isaac, because he's nearly blind anyhow, it said if he's relying on the smeller, why, I'll have him fooled right there. And then, what about the Esau was very hairy on his hands and on chest, and also she then got a kid that, you know, it's a little baby goat, and she got some of that fur, and she fixed it up on his hands and got it on his chest there and on the back of his neck over there, and just fixed him right good. Had him dressed with Esau's, some of his garments on. And then you talk about being a cook. She's a cook that of no short order business. How a lady could make a young kid goat, she dressed it and fixed it and cooked it and made it taste so much like deer meat until Isaac just went ahead and just lopped that up there like he was starving to death and enjoyed it right good. How she could make a goat taste like deer meat, that's really some one of the a woman's secrets in cooking. But now, there's one thing that she couldn't do, and that was change Jacob's voice, and he didn't think of it either. He said, Mama, I better not do like you are suggesting, going in there to Dad like this, because I will be a pretender to him, and I will be deceiving him, and I will get a curse on me and not the blessing. What did she say? Son, the curse be on me, if anything like that is coming, but you just mind me and do like I tell you. And he being an obedient boy, even going contrary to his better wishes, see, most people when they read the Bible, they don't realize that, and they call Jacob the big cheat and stealing his brother's birthright. You got to get all the whole story in there. Being obedient to his mother, he did like she said. And he was fearful about this thing, and he did it reluctantly. But she just egged him on. And so here he is before his dad. And so Dad, bless his old heart, he said, son, you mean to say that you got that deer so quick? How come? Listen to Jacob now. He tells his first fib. If fib is stretching the truth. In the Bible, there are no fibs. They're all lies. And there's no such a thing as white lies and gray lies, but they're all black ones. Sit down and stretches it out. And so, listen to Jacob. He said, well, the reason, Dad, why I got this deer so quick, the Lord was with me and he helped me. Lord wasn't in that at all. He said, come a little bit nearer, son. He said, the sound of the voice sounds like Jacob. Let me just come a little closer. So he used his smeller first. He said, well, the smell of the field is on you. That's Esau, right? Because I know you've been mama's boy and been hanging around the house all the time there. You don't get out there and feel. So this is, you smell like field all right there, son. Tell us about that matter. He said, come a little closer. And when he got a little closer, he tried to smell her out for a while. Then he thought, I'm going to try my feelings out. So he got the feeling of his hands. He said, yeah, that's Esau, all right. Checked him over here on that chest. Pardon me, Mike. And he said, yeah, that sure does feel like Esau, all right. I don't understand this. But anyhow, he said he put the blessing upon him. He had hardly got the blessing bestowed upon him after eating when Esau came out of the field. He got him a deer and even dressed it and got it ready and brought it into his dad. And he said, Dad, I've got the deer, the venison for you that you were asking. He said, who are you, my son? He said, I'm Esau, your firstborn. He said, I say, how come? He said, somebody else has already been here and given me a meal. And he claimed it was you. And he's reading. He relied on his feedings, and his feedings were his failings, and it's exactly the same way it'll be with us. We rely on our feedings, we'll get messed up. Now, how can we get a positive assurance that salvation is ours? Rest your faith first and foremost in nothing less and nothing more than thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. That's number one. I'm not putting that above the Holy Ghost witness, but I'll show you why in a minute that I'm putting it number one. If you would go in your Bible to the book of John, chapter 5:24, the Lord Jesus is saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's the top of the list, heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Not will have it, but has it. And shall not come into condemnation, that's in the judgment, but is passed, already right now, hearing the word and believing on him, is passed from death unto life. For in salvation, we go out of eternal death, which means separation from God. Death does in the Bible refer to separation, because when you die, you obviously know that your body is separated from your spirit, and your spirit and soul depart the body. And if you're saved, it goes to heaven, and if not saved, it'll go to the other place, known in the Bible as H-E-L-L. And notice what is this, shall not come into condemnation or into judgment, but he has passed from death unto life. Let's go another one. If you go over there to the book of James chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, of his own will, that's the Lord's will, he begat us, how? By the word of truth. How are we saved? By the word of God. That's the incorruptible seed. I'll go to that in a minute. But look at another one in verse 21. And it says this, receive with meekness, what? The engrafted word, the word of God, receive it with meekness, which is able to what? I'm not hearing you. Save your souls. What saves our souls? The word of God. Receive this word with meekness, this engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Go a little further with me now. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. He says, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now he describes what that incorruptible seed is, the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. We are born again by the word of God. Now next, you'll remember, I already gave to you Luke chapter 8, verse 12. The devil knows this incorruptible word of God. That is the means, God's means of our salvation. That's why the devil tries to steal that word of God out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Children of God, it's the word test that should be first above all other tests to you. The word test. Now, let me show you a little further by way of an illustration. Testing my own heart by the word of God. Jesus said this in John chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he what? Shall be saved. No ifs, ands, maybes, or buts. It's sure and certain. You come by way of the door, Jesus, you shall be saved. So the question is this. Did you come by way of Jesus, or you try to bypass him to get saved? Did you try christening? Did you try confirmation? Did you try the catechism? Did you try water baptism? Did you try turning over a new leaf and do a bunch of good deeds and treat your neighbor right? Well, if you don't, you're liable to box your jaws. Pay your just honest debts? Well, you don't. Some old bill collector will be on your doorstep. Those are no means of our soul salvation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing work of the Holy Ghost in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, let's go another one. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. When you come to him, he won't reject you. He won't brush you off. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast off. or cast away. If he doesn't cast you out, he must take you in. And you come by way of Jesus. Let's get another one. Over there in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door." That's your heart's door. "And I knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." Get that? It's positive, sure. Jesus guarantees you when you open the door, he will come in. And all the devils and the imps of hell and nobody else, your kinfolk can keep him from coming on in there. And when he comes in, you're saved. Until he comes in, there's no salvation. Well, I see my time is gone. This is not good. I have to stop right here now. Well, I got, how's your clock? I don't even have my watch this morning. 25 after? Thank you so much. I got 5 minutes. I need it. Let me go a little further now. It's when Jesus Christ comes in, that's when we're saved, because when he comes in, we have eternal life, for he is eternal life. When he comes in, he won't come into a dirty house. That thing's going to be cleaned up, but he'll come in when it gets cleaned up. But when he comes in, the scripture says, this mystery in Colossians 1:27, this mystery among all the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then, to put your own self to the test, he said this, examine yourselves. He says over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 and verse 5, he says, whether you were in the faith, and prove your own selves. Know ye not that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? When he comes in, children of God, there are no more reprobate. Bless God. Well, let's get another one. Over there in the book of John, chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus said this, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bring forth fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And then go to the 17th chapter, beautiful verse. You'll love it. In John 17, the Lord Jesus is praying in verse 23, his high priestly prayer. And he's praying to the Father. He said, I in them and thou in me, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And then another one. I like to go over there to Galatians 2:20. The secret to real, genuine salvation, Jesus living inside. Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. There you have it. Christ liveth. ETH means continue to live in there. In me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me run another one by you. You go over there to the book of Romans in chapter 8 and verse 10, and it says this, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And I'll be coming on to that. I won't have time. My time has already gone to explain that verse there. What does that really mean? The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But just as closing it on out, he that hath the Son, that means really living inside him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Are you one of the havers? Or the have-nots. The devil has cheated a lot of people out of the no-so salvation and eternal life and robbed them of the most valuable, precious possession we'll ever have. He said, Brother Henry, why are you giving us such a lesson? It's because some people have been troubled in their mind. Why am I bringing to you? Because lately we have not heard too many salvation sermons. But we need to hear it over again to bring the same precious truth back to us. Amen. And to just reinforce them into our heart, because it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. God wants us to hear that word of God over again as a spiritual checkup on our own soul. And a real child of God doesn't mind a checkup. We like to hear the thus saith the Lord. And this feeding your soul on the word of God, when the ground is good, that soil of your heart, and this incorruptible seed of the word of God is planted in there, it will anchor you. It will solidify your awareness of God's presence. It will witness to you. It will establish you, and it will keep you on solid ground. The devil come around there with that, pumping you full of doubts. Listen, the only reason why he pumps a lot of folks with doubts, The only reason I can dump a lot of his garbage in there, because there's too much vacancy in there. I tell you, if your heart and mind are full of the Word of God, he ain't got any room to dump anything in there. And if we sit around and watch the boob tube a lot of the time, I know it don't, so don't get on to that, preacher. Well, only this and up. Many of us have squandered and wasted so much of our valuable time messing around with things that really are the devil's garbage. Much of that stuff on there is fostered and hatched in hell. And amen, I haven't got time for that, messing around with that. And I'm going to feed my soul on the incorruptible Word of God, amen, that liveth and abideth forever, the unchangeable Word. And I'm going to anchor my faith there. What God said it, I believe it. Not only that, settle it, bless God, amen, but I'm settled in it. Thank you, Father, for your Word this morning. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for redemption through His precious blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Thank you for this privilege of ministering your word to these your children. And Lord, be there a man or a woman here, a young person, lost, unsaved, undone, on their way to a devil's hell, without thee, without hope. Lord, may this word of God entering into their heart bring them to awareness of their need of salvation, and then to know those simple steps to salvation. Lord, we'd like to have had a chance of giving them to your children this morning again, but time has run out on me. But I pray that your Spirit will draw them to the altar of prayer and to know so Bible salvation. And we know, Lord, they'll be glad that they came into this place when they meet you, and the burden of sin is gone. And of all of their sins, there remains not a one. You can wash them whiter than snow and clean them up on the inside. Just like you did us, you'll do them. You're not a respecter of persons. And Lord, by your Spirit, draw them to yourself. You have been lifted up, and you said, I will draw all men unto me. May this day, Lord, be a red letter day in their life, and they come out of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God's dear Son. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And all said, amen. God bless.